minister his word will understand that what some people say is when we point one finger, there's three pointing back at us. And it's so true that when we look through God's word, when we study his word, when we pray and we say, Lord, you know, what food do you want me to bring before your people today? Normally, he's asking me to eat first and you to eat first before we deliver it. So I just wanted to say that. I want to also share one or two things before I bring this message. Sarah brought a song that says, Running to Your Arms. And I'd like you to keep that in the back of your thoughts. I'm running to your arms. Just imagine that picture of you running to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's important to stay connected to Christ. So often we can stray. My prayer this morning for myself was, Lord, create in me a clean heart, renew a right spirit. It's so easy sometimes to be disconnected. Family. Walking together. When Michelle shared the news she had to share, when Karen shared the news she had to share, do you know what? There's always a part of me that rises up, but get emotional, because the enemy's out to rob and to steal, isn't he? He's out to rob and to steal. And one of the strategies of the enemy in my life has been to anesthetize me, to make it so familiar that it doesn't affect me. Well, we don't want that to happen. We want things to affect us so that we can say, we are your hands, we are your feet, we are your pockets. Lord, Father God, we pray, believing that you can, that you have, and that you will. See, Jesus rose people from the dead so we can do that. He prayed for the leper to be cleansed, and the leper was cleansed so we can. Why? Because he said, greater things than you see me do, you will do, because I go to the Father. And if I go to the Father, I won't leave you as orphans. I will send the Comforter, the Spirit of Truth, and that Spirit of Truth lives in his people. Is that true? Amen. Is it okay if we get excited when we preach God's word, when we share it? Because the overflow of the heart, the mouth will speak. So, God's love is what we was hearing about last week. God demonstrated his love by hanging on a cross for me and for you. And over the weeks and the months, I'm sure Jackie will unfold that a bit more. But today, I want to ask you a question, the same question that I asked myself on Sunday when I started to prepare this word. Are you doing what God has asked you to do? Now, there's one important word in there, and that's what God has asked you to do. There's many things that your nearest, your dearest will ask you to do. There's things that maybe even church leadership would ask you to do. But my question isn't that. It isn't what has Andrew asked you to do. What has your husband, your wife, your family, your loved ones, your nearest and dearest? The question is, what has God asked you to do? And then I put down some subsections here. Are you separated? Are you lost? Are you hiding from him? Are you lost? Are you found? Are you hiding? Are you going? Now that's that piece. And I say that because in our home group study this week, we was going through Peter. And one of the comments Mike said was, you know, the thing is with Peter, he's all over the place. And I'm thinking, I know that. When he was reading scripture and explaining to it, it made perfect sense to me because my mind was the same. I go all over the place. And I realized that just as one John and Phil said, it drove him crazy. Because he just didn't get... You need to get into Acts. You need to be listening to the Apostle Paul. That will make someone like Phil tick. I'm all over the place sometimes. So I wanted to have a caveat here by giving you the end before I give you the beginning. That is this. Are you lost? Are you found? Are you hiding? Are you going? Now you have to work out which bit is which. I will do my best. I have a few scriptures here and I just want to share them with you. And hopefully you'll grab hold of my heart. When I ask that question, are you lost? In Luke 19, verse 10, it says this, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. And the word seek is to pursue, it's to go after. Are you lost? Well, Jesus came, the Son of Man came to look for you and to save you. To save you from what? I'm glad you asked. To save you from your sins. Because it's our sin that separates us from God. John 3:17 says this, "For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world." So often we hear Jackie eloquently put it last week, where she brought this picture of a preacher standing in the pulpit with an illustration of holding you over the precipice and God saying, "I despise you," and he's going to let you go. Yet God so loved the world that he gave his son for you. It says here, God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but I'm a bit echoey, Nige, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already. There's a choice, isn't there? One of the things I like to say, and it encourages me, God loves you enough to give you the choice to choose. He sets before us life, and he sets before us death. Now, I don't know where you are. We may have everyone who's in this room is saved. Salvation is yours. You're heaven bound. But we have a responsibility to take this message and share it with others. So that's why I'm bringing this. So work out the bits. Are you lost? Are you found? Are you hiding? Are you going? For God so loved the world, God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Salvation comes through no one else but Christ. In Matthew 20, verse 6, it says this. About 5 in the afternoon, he went out and found still others standing there. Now, if you know this story, you'll understand it's the story of the 11th hour worker, where you have this picture where men are standing in the marketplace and the landowner comes out. He doesn't send his hired hand, he comes out himself. It's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ looking for you and me. And he finds us in the marketplace. And he says, "You go work in my vineyard and I'll pay you what's right." And it says in this portion of scripture that about 5 in the afternoon, he went out and found still others standing there. He had to pursue them. He had to go looking for them. And he asked, "Why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing?" And some translations, it says it like this. It says they were idle. They were idle. And when you actually think about idle, you can look at it in two ways. You can either go good for nothing, they're just lazy. Or idle, when you stand at the traffic lights and you have your car switched on, it's going nowhere, is it? It's stationary, yes? Can you get that picture? But the engine is idling. It's in idle mode. So that means that all the power is there, you just have to put your foot on the accelerator. And that's the picture I get here, because these men were in the marketplace. The marketplace was a place where people gathered for work. And not that many years ago, if you needed a job and you was out of work, you'd go stand on the docks and you'd wait for them to employ you. You'd go stand in the marketplace where the men would come and say, "I'll have you, I'll have you, and I'll have you." And what we find in this picture here that's so wonderful, I think, is that when you get to the end of the day, he came along and he said, "Why are you still standing here? Because no one's hired me. Go work and I'll pay you what's right." And right at the end of this parable, this story, this illustration, they're given their wages. And starting with the last first, he gave them a whole day's wages and going right back to the one who worked all day, and they had equality. God comes to give you the same gift as he's given me, whether you've been in the kingdom for a week or years and years and years. Are you lost? Have you been found? Are you hiding or are you going? Isaiah 59, verse 1. "Surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor his ear too dull to hear." Sometimes in my life, I've prayed for my family, my loved ones, and I'm saying, "Lord," and God says, "I will build my church." He's called me to pray, to stand in the gap. And it's scriptures like this that encourages me. Surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save. So whether you are lost or you're found, surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor ear too dull to hear. It means when you speak to him, he will hear you. "But your iniquities have separated you from God. Your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear." So when I was in my quiet time, in my closet as such, this scripture leapt out at me. You know, I'm going, "God, can you not hear me?" And yet he could say to me, and maybe he could say to you, "But your iniquities have separated you from God. Your sins have hidden the face from you." Maybe I've been hiding from him. Maybe you've been hiding from him. It's sin that separates. And I know it's a difficult word to use in church sometimes, isn't it? When we use the word sin. But we can't use salvation without using the word sin, because it's sin that separates us from God. So why do we need to be saved? Because we're lost. What are we lost from? We're dead in our sins and transgressions. How can we be made alive if we don't know what we're being made alive from? So it's a word of encouragement, I think, for you and for me, whether you are lost, whether you've been found, whether you are hiding, or whether you are going. You will understand this word being truth and liberating. I find it liberating. Why? Because I can do something about this when God puts it in my way. In Genesis 3, verse 8, then the man, let's go up a bit. No, we won't. It'll take too long. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord. They hid from the Lord, their God, among the trees in the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" Do you think God didn't know where they were? But they'd hid. Now, how many of you know the story? Why did they hide? Because they knew that their iniquities had separated them. There was something different. So, are you lost? Are you found? Are you hiding? Are you going? The questions that I've asked myself this week, and questions I want to ask us as a church. Why? Because we're a family. And I want us to be all that God wants us to be. In Luke 15, verse 16 is another parable, another story. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, and he went on to say, how many of my father's servants who are hired help have better food than me? This is a story again that's worth going into. It's a story of the man that had two sons. We know it probably as the prodigal. The son that had the opportunity to have everything that the father had for him. He just needed to wait for the right time for the inheritance. But he said, no, I want it, and I want it now. And the father lavished all his possessions on him. The young man went off into the world and squandered his wealth. He went off into the world, but he was still a son, wasn't he? If you grab the picture, the story, he was still a son. So are you lost? Have you been found? Are you hiding? Are you going? This man was hiding in the pig pen until he came to his senses. And then that picture, as Sarah and Phil was singing that song, I'm running to your arms, that's what came to me. I just imagined he came to his senses and he ran back to the Father. Sometimes in my life, and maybe in your life, or people that you know, they're hiding in the pig pen and they haven't come to their senses. There's such an opportunity there, isn't there? Just to come to our senses and go, I've got this wrong. I'm running into your arms. So that's the questions I want to ask us as a church, and only you can answer it. And this is actually a good word. It's an encouraging word. Why? Because it will enable us to process where we are, who we are, and what God has for us. And my first question that I asked, if I can find it again, was simply, are you doing what God has asked you to do? So if you take that question, are you doing what God has asked you to do, or are you hiding? And the key word is God. What's God said to you in the past? What's he saying to you now? Are you doing what God has asked you to do? Are you lost? Have you been found? Are you hiding? Or are you going? In Luke 5:32. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. God's called us to do something. It's the sick that need a doctor. And for me, when I was pondering on this word, and I was wanting to articulate it to us as a church that would encourage us, not to pull us down, but to lift us up, because food is nourishing. It's food that will go into the stomach, and it will enable the nutrients from that food to feed us. And that's what God's word is all about. It says it's sharper than a two-edged sword. It will bring separation. But do you know what? Sometimes when you've got something malignant, you have to cut it out in order for something good to come. And it's not a very good illustration, but in some regions, if there's a wound that needs to be cleaned out, they put maggots inside and they tape it up. And then the maggots eat all the rot and just leave the goodness. And sometimes we have to let the word of God come into our lives just to cut something away so that something else can thrive. So that's why I say this is an encouraging word. This is a good word. And just like the man who was hiding in the pig pen, it was time to come to his senses and go forward. Just like the man who was standing in the marketplace, idle, waiting to do something. He just needed a word from God. God, just call me. Just tell me. You tell me what to do and I'll do it. That used to be the prayer, and it still is the prayer in my life. Lord, just tell me what to do and I'll do it. Yet there's so often I can't hear. Why? Because there's times I'm hiding in the pig pen. I don't know about you. I'm trying to get away. I want everything that God has for me, but I want it, and I want it now. And patience is something that I need to learn. But when I come to my senses, I run back to him. That's what that young man did. He stepped out of the pig pen and he ran back to the Father. And the story tells us that the Father has his arms open. It's the same for you and the same for me. I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And that's us. That's me and that's you. And repentance is a great word. Sin is a word that will convict us and convince us that we need repentance so that we turn away from sin and we turn towards the Lord. Yes, it's a good word. It's a word that's like that scalpel that will just remove the dead parts of our life. I hope you're encouraged by this. But are you lost? Have you been found? Are you hiding? Or are you going? You've got to work out the bits. And I'm going to keep my message relatively short, not because of the content, not because this is not a good word, but because I don't need to labor any more than what is down here in these scriptures. Just to encourage us, just to say, where am I? Where am I going? Lord, what are you saying to me? Lord, what are you saying to me? Lord, I want to be who you've called me to be. I want to do what you've called me to do. In Acts 11, verse 18, when they heard this, they had no further objections and praised God, saying, so even the Gentiles, even to the Gentiles, God has granted repentance that leads to life. In other words, this God has no favorites, whether you're a Jew or whether you're a Gentile. The gift of the Holy Spirit has been poured out on all flesh. On all flesh. But repentance brings life. And that's that same illustration I want to bring today. If there's anything in your life, like I know there is in my life, that's stopping me from doing what God has called me to do, that's caused me to hide, then I'm coming to my senses. I'm going to repent. And I'm going to turn back to God today. It's a good word. Sin is a good word. Repentance is a good word. Why? Because it's through acknowledging our sin that we know we need a Savior. It's by repenting that we turn from our old ways and we turn to Him. But in this illustration, what struck me was so often when we hear this word preached, delivered, proclaimed, it's talking to those that are lost. But when you look at the illustration of the man that had two sons, he was a son. He was a son. And so often, me and you, as sons and daughters, we can still get lost. I mean that in a nice way. We can still be lost, can't we? We can still be lost. And we don't understand at times we can't hear God because it's our iniquities, our sins that have separated us. God knew where Adam and Eve were. But they weren't going to listen. They'd hid from him. They were his children, weren't they? They were his creation. So you are his child. You are his creation. God so loved the world that he gave. He didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. But there is an act of obedience, and that act of obedience is recognizing that we are sinners, we need his grace, and that we repent, and then we turn back to the Father, step out of the pig pen, and run home. Maybe this word is just for your pastor, but maybe it will speak to you today in some way. What is it God has called you to do? Are you hiding? Are you hiding? Are you lost? Are you going? In Matthew 4, verse 17, from that time on, Jesus began to preach. He'd come into his own. The Spirit of God was upon him. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Is that word again, repentance? It's a good word. It's a solid word. It simply means I'm going this way and it leads to destruction. I'm going to repent. And I turn around and I'm going back. Right, going back to the Father. I'm stepping out of the pig pen and I'm going home. And the Father was there with his arms open and his arm outstretched. And he's there for me, and I'm sure you will understand and agree he's there for you also. My final scripture is in Acts 3, verse 19. Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Are you like me and you need refreshing? Because I do. As Michelle was sharing a little while ago, about this friend that has cancer, and if God doesn't heal her, then she's going to die. I was reminded of a time in my life where a very good friend of mine had passed away, had been killed in an accident, and something rose up inside of me, and the Lord spoke into my heart, and he said, you don't have to accept this. Now, what he didn't say was, I'm going to heal this man. He just simply said, you don't have to accept it. And there's a part of me that's been hiding from that. Because I got up and I went down the hospital, I lay hands on the dead and the dead was still dead. But you know what? If we don't lay hands on the dead, they're not going to recover, are they? If we don't lay hands on the sick, they're not going to get well. If we don't pray, God's not going to be able to do anything. Does he act sovereignly? Of course he does. But does he use you and me? Of course he does. So I've been hiding from the call on my life and I'm stepping out and I'm running back. And I have to do that through repentance. So I'm asking you the question. I'm not asking you to put your hands up. I'm not asking you to write a letter. But I'm simply asking you, are you lost? If you're lost today and you're dead in your transgressions and sins, today Jesus says, I come to save and to seek. I come to give you life and life in all its fullness. You're in my vineyard. You're in my workplace. You're standing idle and there's something in you that's longing to do more. Well, I want to implore you, God says. Go and work in my vineyard and I will pay you what's right. Salvation will be yours. Have you been found where you've accepted Jesus as Savior and Lord, but you've run and you've hid? God's walking in the garden, he's saying, where are you, son? Where are you, daughter? And you're not talking to him. Are you in the pig pen of life and you just got yourself in a rut and you're saying, oh Lord, I've come to my senses, I'm stepping out and I'm going back. What has God asked you to do? God has a call on my life and he has a call on your life. He's anointed me no more than he's anointed you. His anointing is his equipping. It's running down the head, right the way down the body. Why? Because he's blessed you. His word says to you, as it says to me, that you've been fearfully and wonderfully made, that you are his child, you're his children. You're born for such a time as this. And so often we can be in church, we can be in our home, and we can think, but God can't use me because I'm only. Well, if he can use the young man who took everything that God has to offer and he went away and squandered it and give him the opportunity to come back, then he can work with you and he can work with me. If he can give such lavish riches upon the man that only worked a few moments of his life before he entered eternity, then he can give you much more too. You see, God is asking me a question, and I'm saying that maybe he's asking you a question. Are you lost? Have you been found? Are you hiding? Or are you going? And there's a scripture that says that Jesus said to his disciples, when he came back from the dead, go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Go, make disciples. That's why my question was, are you lost? If you are, Jesus is looking for you. Have you been found, but you're hiding, or are you going? And maybe you can't go until you repent. Maybe you can't repent until you realize you're lost. So let's pray. And you apply this word to your heart according to the measure that God's given you. And I hope that brings release as it brought release to me. I hope it brings fruitfulness as it's brought fruitfulness to me. I hope that you will see this word as a word of encouragement, a word in season, not shying away from the word repentance, not shying away from the word sin, not shying away from the word heaven and hell, not shying away from these biblical words that are there to bring us life and not death. I want to pray a prayer. I'd like you to pray with me. I'd like you to say amen where it applies to you, because amen means let it be so according to your plan and purpose. I agree. You know, the Bible says this is a great sermon topic. It says all the promises of God are yes. All the promises are yes. But it goes on to say the amen is spoken by us. So we can quote scripture. All the promises are mine, Lord. But if we don't go amen, if we don't say yes according to your plan and purpose, I agree, then we don't receive them. Father God, we thank you for your goodness, your grace and your mercy. Father, we thank you that you came to save the lost. You came looking for us, Lord. We thank you, Father God, that through that act of obedience and repentance, we can come into the center of your plans and purposes. This prayer is for anyone who don't know who Jesus is, that you've never accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. And maybe everyone's been found today, but let's make sure. Father God, I pray for each and every person here today that don't know you personally. I pray that you would shine your light upon them now in Jesus' name, that they would say to you now in their hearts, I'm lost. I thank you that you found me. I've been standing in this marketplace idle. I have all this resource and all this inside me, but I don't know what to do with it. Today, God says that he's calling you. You go work in my vineyard. Father, forgive me for my sins, my transgressions. Father God, come and fill my heart. Envelop me by your spirit that I may know you. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. For the rest of us, Father God, I thank you that I've been found, that I've asked for forgiveness and you've forgiven me. Father God, I thank you that you have a plan and a purpose for me, that Father God, you've anointed me, you've equipped me, you've enabled me. But Father God, maybe for you guys, some of you might be dulled. The world may have pushed you down. The world may have said to you, who do you think you are? And God says, you're my child. Come home. Don't hide anymore. I've asked you to do something. I'm going to equip you to do it. If that's you, pray amen to this prayer. Father God, I thank you that I've come to my senses. That, Lord, I'm encouraged. That you've never left me. You're still searching for me. Lord, I know that you stand on the pathway of my life's journey with your arms open. I'm running to you. I'm running into your arms, Lord. Forgive me for hiding. Lord, I repent. I'd come back to you. Fill me afresh that I may be all that you've called me to be. I ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Father God, I thank you that you love me so much that you hung on a cross for me. Father God, I thank you that you lavish your goodness upon me as your child. I want to go. I want to go make disciples. I want to pray for the sick. I want to see the lepers cleansed. I want to see the dead raised. I want to speak your word, Lord, that's sharper than the two-edged sword, that will bring division, that will cut the devil out and bring in your goodness and your grace. I want to go and I want to make disciples of all nations. I want to make disciples in my family, in my neighborhood, in my town, in my village, in my city, in this nation, Father God, in this world that you created. I want to go and do what you've called me to do. Father God, I ask you to enable me to speak to me afresh. I ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Let's stand. Let's worship the Lord in Jesus' name.